This is Rock Chalk Sports Talk with Nick Schwert on new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.
5 o'clock hour, Rock Chalk Sports Talk, new FM 101.7, 1320 KLWN. We're at Jefferson's at 15th and Wakarusa. Come in, tell them you're with the Roundball Classic. They will donate 50% of your ticket directly to the cause. We'll be here till 6 o'clock talking to Bud Stallworth and Kenny Gregory. Bud, you and I were just talking NBA Finals on the other side. Kenny, you're from Cleveland, you're from Ohio. You live in Ohio again now, right?
Yes.
You don't identify as a Cavs fan, but you said you like to see him do well. So are they going to keep history from happening? Are they going to keep the Warriors from going undefeated throughout the postseason?
I think they'll win tonight. I think they'll win a game or two. I can't say, especially how Golden State has looked, that they'll come back like last year. I think that was probably a once-in-a-lifetime thing. But I don't think they'll just lay down tonight. I think they'll be competitive and, you know, get a home win just off emotions and get one.
I just wonder if this Warriors team is so good that they're just immune to teams just having, like, a rally like that. Because, you know, everybody always says basketball, the cliche, basketball is a game of runs. But with Golden State, like, the other team's runs don't affect them, and their runs destroy you. You know, it's just like they're kind of like they're erasing basketball norms, and it's unlike anything I've ever seen. I said it's the best team I've seen in my lifetime. Would you go that far?
Not yet. I think they have to win it first.
Yeah, that's fair.
Just like last year, they won 73 games. If they would have won it, you could have made an argument as best ever, or one of the best ever. But
like people are already talking about him winning four straight. Like maybe win one.
Win one first. But it's a tough matchup. I was telling a buddy of mine that the best one-on-one player gets to play one-on-one now because he has so many good players around him. So it's tough.
You know, we were talking the other day. KU sent Andrew Wiggins to the league. Gets drafted first overall by the Cavs. LeBron signs up, says, I don't want to wait for this kid to figure it out, so I want to win now. They trade for Kevin Love. Now, Andrew Wiggins hasn't been in an all-star game, but he's a bright young player. I wonder if now with the team that they're facing and how athletic and how many guys there are to defend, if they would have been better off hanging on to a 6'9", super athletic wingman like Wiggins.
I guess for me, I don't feel bad for the Cavs.
They got their ring.
They made the finals 3 years in a row. I think they were focusing more on LeBron's short window.
That's fair.
Like 5 or 6 years. So I think you have to capitalize on that as much as possible. Now, Wiggins, in hindsight, this year would be perfect if he was there.
Right.
You know, an athletic guy that can defend Durant and score some points and create his own shot some. But I think the Cavs are probably satisfied with their decision.
That's what I was about to ask is – is it LeBron James comes home, brings a championship to Cleveland? Is it as simple as that to say it's a success because he brought a championship back to that city?
I think so.
It is for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. The city.
Yeah. Because yeah.
Because they have had a losing sports franchises for a long time. That's baseball, football, and basketball. So I think.
Did you ever have to play in Cleveland?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about it?
Well, it was okay. I mean, you know, they were new. They were a young franchise when I played against them. But, you know, they weren't winning any championships or anything like that.
Because the thing with LeBron is that whether he wins or loses, he's still only chasing one guy. You know, he's chasing Jordan to where the point of all of these guys, like, if the Warriors were to blow this finals again, like, it would mar Kevin Durant's career, would mar Steph Curry's career. LeBron can win or lose, like he's still going to be only compared to one guy that's ever played the game before. So I just think it's interesting when like trying to determine like what the title would do for his legacy.
Well, his legacy has already been solidified.
Yeah,
I mean, when you look at a 6'9" slash forward guard center and can score and defend, I mean, you know, it's not a lot that's left out there that he really has to improve himself on, except another championship. And I, from what I've seen, you know, the last couple of games, it's going to be tough for that to happen.
We got Kenny Gregory and Bud Stallworth with us here on Rock Chalk Sports Talk. We got a couple guys getting ready for the draft. Josh Jackson and Frank Mason, Landon Lucas to an extent as well. First, with Jackson projected top 3 pick, you like his chances at the next level?
Yeah, I think he'll be very good. Athletic, long guy that can put the ball in the basket, can play defense. I think that's probably the most important thing, is that he can really defend on both ends, and that's a key, you know, going against bigger wings in the NBA. So I think his chances are very well. You know, as long as whoever he goes to gives him time to develop, doesn't expect him to average 25 points from day one, just have some patience and give him a year or two to, you know, get his feet wet, I think he'll be just fine.
And he doesn't strike me as a guy who's going to be a real prolific scorer at the next level, but kind of what you're saying, he does, like, everything else for you really, really well, whether it's defending.
Stay healthy.
Right.
And stay healthy. That's the only thing that'll slow him down, because he understands the game. You know, I thought that he was going to be, you know, a terror, and then he kind of, you know, wore down a little bit. But his athletic ability, natural skill set, and understanding of the game, you know, I think a lot of it for me is that when I look at these kids that leave after 1 year, whether or not physically and mentally that they're able to sustain and do the things that have to be done to meet it at the next level, because the next level is going to be altogether different than when you were playing in high school and college.
Were you guys both about 22 when you were done with college?
Yes.
Can you imagine, like, going back, like, you look at your maturity level when you were done with school, can you imagine saying, oh, what if I would have left 2 or 3 years before that? Like, would you have been ready? Could you have been able
no.
to?
Nobody's
no. No. Nobody's ready.
No.
Nobody's ready. I mean, you maybe have like a handful of guys that are actually ready.
Yeah, you got the LeBrons, and you got a couple other guys that are
actually,
you know,
ready, but nobody's ready.
Not ready.
It took Tracy McGrady 5 years to get ready.
That's
you know,
right.
It's like nobody's ready, but.
It's a different kind of language. You know.
If you could go back and give your 22-year-old self advice, what would you say?
Probably focus more on, as far as training, focus more on the weaknesses you have instead of the things you're already good at. That would be, you know, the biggest thing. Just train more, train harder, and focus on, you know, your weaknesses more.
Yeah, because when I came through, man, it wasn't a trainer there that knew what he was doing. He could even tape your ankles right, okay? And I'm serious.
So, like, so if you would get injured, are you talking about a KU?
Yeah.
Or the, or
no,
the
no, I'm talking about in the pros.
Okay, so you sprain your ankle during the game. What happens next?
You ain't hurt.
It's like, meanwhile, there's a softball
guy. Yeah, you're sitting there, you're going like, you know. I can still, to this day, look down at my feet and my hands and go, was it worth it? And then I say, yeah, it was worth it. You know, but the pain that you were sitting there, and the trainers were not really trainers. They were some guy that somebody was a friend of that knew how to wrap your ankle or something like that. And the doctors weren't really sports medicine doctors that they knew about it. Yeah, you know, you'll be all right. You know, let's tape it up. So it's a big difference now, basically because of the way that the athletes have gotten to the point that they get the very best doctors. They get the best training. They get the best, you know, dietary information and everything. Because back then, you know, you had a trainer, you had a couple of coaches, and nobody knew what they were doing, okay? Period.
Well, you know, that's what's funny is when you hear people trying to compare, like, players of this era versus players from 20, 30 years ago, and Draymond Green talked about it yesterday. He goes, it's a completely different game. It's so pointless to try and compare, like, this Warriors
team.
Well,
the rules have changed.
Well, it's a different – literally every aspect of it's different.
Right. You know, they clean it up enough, man, that you didn't get knocked out every night.
Well, and it's from the way it was officiated to the way the training staff that you
had,
the people around you.
They had two free throws. I mean, two – officials at the game, one at one end of the court and one at the other, and nobody was running up and down the court. Okay, you know, they went, you get down to the other end and looking somewhere else. Okay, that's how that was.
You could probably get away with a lot more stuff, though, right?
Yeah, you couldn't get away with a lot of stuff too. You're like getting knocked out.
That's what's so funny is, like, half the stuff that's happening, like, that happened 40, 50 years ago, you couldn't get away with today because it's instant reaction. People are talking about it all the time. Like, the stuff that you can say, the things that happened during the game, I go back to who was it? Who knocked out Rudy Tomjanovich? Were you in the league when Rudy Tomjanovich got knocked out? Kermit Washington. God. He just
had the same agent.
Kidding. Now, can you imagine if that happened today? It's all that anyone would talk about. Kermit Washington would get blackballed. He'd never play again in the league. You can't. Well, almost ended the dude's life on the court.
I don't know whether, because I've seen guys get knocked out in this era with three referees. So, I don't know whether that's that big of a deal or not. He just went in and just knocked him out. Period.
That was pretty bad.
That was really bad.
Yeah.
And he wasn't even Rudy Tomjanovich when he tried to fight him.
No.
He was innocent body.
He's like running up trying to like break stuff.
That's the other thing you got to be worried about.
He's like, hey guys, don't fight. And it's just, oh my gosh, man. Yeah, that was pretty bad. But it's just, like, do you agree though? Like, it's impossible to
Capolice.
Compare players of different eras?
Well, not really. I mean, you can compare the individual with talent, but all of everything that goes into the training of it, all of the, things that they need to recover from injuries, the technology and all of that, it helps save these guys probably two or three more years of hard playing, where back in the early days in the 50s and 60s, if you turn your ankle or you fell down wrong and got injured, they didn't have the doctor's knowledge there that they could, say, okay, he got a fracture here, or he has a dislocation there, or, he tore a ligament here. They didn't have nobody doing that for them. Yeah. They just, hey, is it hurting? Let's wrap it up or put it in ice. Maybe we can, call the doctor that doesn't know what he's doing anyway and see if he can fix it.
Kenny, do you ever, find yourself, looking back, if you were coming into college now, what would be different? Do you feel like your impact, you as a player, would be relatively similar to what it was, or would it be different?
I think it would have been just depends on how long I would have stayed. I think they just draft guys different now.
Right, because you
– I think with my athleticism –
You they say this kid's – how tall are you, 6'5"?
Yeah, 6'5".
6'5", 46-inch vertical will take him in the lottery.
Even if I couldn't play. I would get an opportunity.
They'd say, we'll teach him. We'll figure the rest out.
I've been in school a year.
That's
so
a good point.
It's just a different way they're drafting guys now. And I think, around my time and before, the best players were putting up big numbers in college and becoming lottery picks. Now it's like, guys, you can come from Kentucky and average 7.
That's right.
So I don't really know if you can play or not.
That's right.
I know you're on a good team.
That's right.
But I don't really know if you can play if you average 7 points. So it's just the way they scout the guys and draft them off potential is a little different.
Yeah, and you've got the exact opposite of that. You got guys who put up humongous numbers on awful teams, right? You had Ben Simmons at LSU this last year, Markelle Fultz.
What happened to him?
He's who, Simmons?
Yeah.
He didn't play at all. He was injured.
Right. But he was supposed to be D.
Well, so
next
was,
coming.
So was Embiid, and he's only played about half a season.
Half a season, did he?
No, he played
31 games.
Yeah, 31 games
last year.
And that's a career high for him.
3 years.
Ben Simmons the same way. He had a foot injury, and he didn't play either. But those guys, they go to these lesser-known schools out of high school, and Michael Porter, the kid who's going to Mizzou, number one recruit in the country, he's going to Missouri. They won, 8 games a year ago? Do you think, what are the inherent advantages of going to a blue blood like Kansas versus going to a school that maybe you got a good relationship with the coach or maybe you like the campus or whatever, but it just doesn't have that same background?
I think it just depends on what the kid and whoever his handlers are looking for. If you go to a blue blood school, you may or may not be able to be the star from day one. But if you go to a smaller school, and with the way they are drafting, like I said before, it's more off potential. So it really doesn't matter what school you go to anymore. If you're a Markelle Fultz and you go to Washington and average 24 points a game and win 7 games, they're just really focused on what you do. I think that's just how the game has changed. I think before they would focus on what program you came from and how could you play with other players. Now it's more individual. So it's easier for guys to go to bad teams and still get drafted very high. So what's the incentive?
Right. Because, Bud, you were the same way. I mean, you were really good player on a really good team, a really good program, and you were drafted, what, seventh overall? We went over this last week, and you can only remember, you can only name one of the guys that was drafted ahead of you. They all, like, flamed out. Like, there was, like, one guy, I think, who made it, like, a couple all-star teams. But coming to a blue blood, I know, obviously, Kansas has changed a lot since when you were in high school deciding to come here, but if you were a recruit nowadays, like, how important would it be to you to go to a program that's known for basketball?
Well, you know, I just fell into this thing.
I know, yeah.
And so, back in those days, kids didn't think that they were going to get drafted or go to a school that was a blue blood, so
right.
to speak.
Mm-hmm.
All we wanted to do was play. And fortunately for me, I accidentally was at a band camp.
What'd you play, by the way, trumpet?
Trumpet.
That's right.
And while I was out here, a friend of mine that I had met in the music camp had found out about some pickup games that the team that lost to Texas Western, when Texas Western beat Kentucky for the national championship,
they knocked
KU out of that slot. So I didn't really know anything about, you know, the greatness of, you know, how great Kansas basketball was. I just wanted to get into some pickup games. So I started playing pickup games instead of going back to the lunch at noon for my music camp. That's how all this thing started.
That's amazing.
Because nobody, you know, back then was recruiting somebody that was in a town that my school was 500, maybe 300 kids. The next large school was an all-white school, so I was in a situation where, like, hey, this is it. My parents want me to be educated and knowledgeable about this, so I'm going to go to college. Mm-hmm. And I have, my older sister was out here going, and she recommended that I get involved in the music program. When the kid came to me and said, hey, I got it. I got some real nice pickup games because we playing with these musicians and you're really not enjoying yourself. I said, well, I'm just having a great time wearing them out, you know. So he said, no, but this is what we want. You know, if you can get down there at lunch instead of coming back to the dorm and having lunch, they got these guys and they're really good players and they'll let you play with them. That's how I got over here.
I'm just picturing Bud Stallworth in a pickup game full of a bunch of band kids, and he's just crossing them over, just dunking,
scoring every basket.
It was fun, though. It was, you know, my getaway from being in music and being in the education field. You know, that was what it was, and it worked out because the coach here was Ted Owens, called my counselor, that guy right there, and we're still friends today. He called my counselor and asked me to call him. I called his office, and he said, who are you? My guys have been playing pickup ball with you, and they think that you can come out here and play for us. That's how I got out here, just like that.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's like the best story.
I never knew that.
You had to feel pretty lucky looking back on that, right?
Oh,
just the way
lucky isn't the word
out.
For it, man. You know where I was at? Before then?
What was the name of the town?
Hartsell, Alabama. My school was maybe 300, and we had to, you know, practice outside because we didn't have a home gym. Because back then, you know, those schools like that would have to use the white school's gym to play the games, even though you practice outside. So all of that was in it.
So by the time you got done with high school, you were kind of done with the idea that you were – I mean, did you ever have the idea in your head that you were going to play basketball?
At a professional level?
Yeah, that was
I was always thinking I was going to play anyway because I thought I had that. Yeah, because that's all I did was, you know, go to school and play ball. That was it.
But when you left and you went to Kansas and you were
going to music camp,
were you still holding on to the idea?
Yeah, because I never would have gotten to the pickup games if it wasn't for one of the buddies that I was playing pickup ball with in the music camp. I never would have known that JoJo White was down there practicing in the off season, and they were the same team that was working out in the summertime on their own. And I never would have known that if I had not, you know, took time to go over to their gym and get it on with them.
Do you still have the trumpet?
Yeah, it's in a.
You don't.
Yes, I do. It's right over here at 14 Westwood Road in the same box that I brought it in 30-some years ago.
I think you should play the national anthem tomorrow.
Couldn't do
at
it.
The Round Ball Classic.
I couldn't do it. You know what would be coming out of there would be somebody running out to drag me out there and put me in jail somewhere for faking it.
I want to hear that story from Ted Owens' perspective.
Okay.
He's right over here. We're going to take a quick break, though. We'll talk to Ted Owens on the other side. It's Rock Chalk Sports Talk, New FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.